LunaticMania.com.
Sci-Fi Melody goes to Comic-Con. Well, not that Comic-Con, Akron Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's a good thing you said that, because we are not at THE Comic-Con San Diego. We are at a just as good a one, I feel. Akron Comic-Con. It's the Rage Master here with Scott. And we are here today for our first con event.
James K. Knight Center in Akron at Akron Comic-Con. This is a pretty awesome environment here. And unlike the Comic-Con in California, you can actually walk around here without being herded through it like herds of cattle. To just keep walking, please.
Yeah, and you're not in lines that stretch out to infinity. So, and you can actually afford to get in. How about that? And the best part even, for you comic fans, there's actually comic sales here. Not just artists.
I all in my line of sight right now are comic book booths, for the most part. We do have an art booth, a very awesome art booth directly to the left of us, which you'll hear from the operator of Aaron later on in the podcast. But there's actual comics here. There's memorabilia here, and there's art here. It is not, you know, it's not just, stupid media people taking up space to do their podcast.
Yeah. In fact, I think we're the only one, which is pretty darn cool. So anyway, as we're, too bad we don't have video, but that's all right. We've seen so many cool costumes here, so many cool people. I've seen people from Assassin's Creed 2, Ezio. We got the 501st here.
Which we're hoping to get audio back of, because we lost the first audio due to the computer taking an untimely dump with the gentleman here in a $3,500 Boba Fett costume.
Okay, let me rephrase that. He did not take a dump in his costume. The technology took a dump.
I Boba said the Fett computer took a dump.
Making sure. It almost sounded strange there. So, but we're going to have later on after this a few Man on the Street interviews, which ought to be really cool, because we're addressing the issue today, are superheroes science fiction? So, I will get the ball rolling. I think they are 1/10 yes, 9/10 no. Because the people who designed this have admitted, Stanley himself has admitted, hey, we're looking at Hela, Loki, and Thor, by the way. So, these are good costumes, too.
We also have Thelma from Scooby-Doo in front of us.
Wow, we do.
Jinkies.
Yeah. Wow. Zoinks. Wow, this is going to be like that the whole time. So anyway, I think not, because when you listen to Stan Lee talk about how he made his earliest characters, he said he didn't know anything about science at all. He wasn't going for scientific accuracy. He was going for what he felt was cool. And that means technobabble galore. It wasn't even hand-wavium. It was just, this happened, the end.
So I think it depends on how broad of a definition you take of science fiction. I think that superhero and comic stories tend to be their own genre, of which there is a science fiction branch of comic book and superhero stories, because Guardians of the Galaxy is entirely a science fiction story and entirely a comic book superhero story. It works in both. It fits. It's kind of like a horror sci-fi crossover that we did talk about all last month. There are times that you can cross the two genres together, but I'm sitting here at Comic-Con, and we had Boba Fett from the 501st. We had Lord Vader come by for an interview. We saw a kid in a Wrath of Khan Star Trek uniform. I'm also seeing Thor. I'm seeing Loki, and I'm seeing
Stormtroopers,
right.
Harry Potter.
So what I'm seeing here at Comic-Con is a mix of people cosplaying as comic book characters and as science fiction characters. So it definitely, right in front of me is a Stormtrooper saying, yes, I buy comics. So maybe it's not important to say, are comic book characters and superhero characters science fiction, or are they all part of this greater thing called nerdtainment?
Well, I'm trying to focus specifically on superheroes themselves, because you definitely have science fiction comics that definitely fit the mold. I'm thinking more things like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, because at the end of the day, the center focus of this con is superheroes. You would not have this kind of con or culture without superheroes. And I think when you look at it too, a lot of it is based mostly off of mythology. I really consider superheroes to be American modern mythology or tall tales. That's what they are. They're the guy sitting around a campfire telling about Paul Bunyan, or us sitting around saying, wouldn't it be great if you had a crime fighter whose plot armor prevented him from being killed, stopped, or otherwise defeated? Batman.
And what's the difference between Superman and Zeus? Thor was a Norse god who's been turned into a comic book character. So if you're going back to the mythology of the pantheon of gods, it fits.
Absolutely.
Well, but I would also say, in a way, see, this is where we get back to it, though. While this con is largely driven completely by superheroes and comics, I'm looking at someone in a Hogwarts costume right now in front of me, okay? So, at the same time, I just saw someone with a Night of the Living Dead shirt. So, at the same time, part of what's driving this is this massive crossover appeal. And if you get to the big events, the Comic-Con out in California, that thing doesn't get to the level that it is without being driven by Game of Thrones appearances, which is fantasy crossover. There are Star Trek rooms and presentations and boards. It is really, you would almost change it from Comic-Con to NerdCon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
Or Geek Con.
It's pop culture con, to be sure. I think if you wanted to include everything that's at this con in the question, some parts science fiction and other parts no. So, and when you're looking at superheroes in particular, that is Superman is based from like the Moses tale. Remember, Siegel and Shuster were Jewish guys. And they were, it's Moses, left aloft to go find his new home. I mean, this is, although, as another science fiction notice, the guy from Jurassic Park just walked
with
by.
With a massive velociraptor head out of his backpack. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I have no idea, I forget the name of the character, but there it is. Oh, we just saw Rey and Jin walk by and Princess Leia. So we see a lot of stuff here. But how much of it is sci-fi? I'm inclined to say no, it's more mythology, but there are certainly sci-fi parts to it.
I'm inclined to say, I mean, and we're getting real close to answering the question in the first 8 minutes of the podcast, which is kind of dangerous, but I'm inclined to say that it is its own subcategory of entertainment. Because I've said before on this show, sacrilege, someone at Comic-Con right now, I'm not a huge comic book fan. I don't have anything against them. But you won't find me going through the Superman comics and the Batman comics, and that's not my thing. As I said, I got a couple Firefly comics because I love Firefly and I wanted to see where the story went. And I love science fiction. But as we said, you know, Marvel, one of the things we talked about before with the Marvel comic movies is they're hoping that through the Marvel Cinematic Universe that they can drive readership in the print universe, the graphic novel universe. And it's just not working because there's almost nothing that you can do with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's going to make me become a graphic novel fan because I just don't do my reading in that format. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not the one for me. That being said, it's its own genre, and it works, but it has this crossover tie-in to science fiction and this appeal that it hits on the same levels. It hits on the same basic storytelling levels, as I repeat myself here. But essentially, in a science fiction story, you're exploring the nature of humanity and the human condition. And that happens in science fiction, and what we can become, and the good and the bad, the dark side of our natures versus our better angels of our natures, to borrow from Lincoln. Comic book stories do the same thing.
Well, they do now. For a long time, they were a lot of just good versus evil, which is why I say, and that's the heart of it. Even today, they're more talky today, and they try to do a little bit more humanistic things and human condition, and that's very true, especially if you look at The Walking Dead. But if you go back to superheroes, it's very much trying to stick to that good versus evil, which is a very big mythological Arthurian folklore type of theme. That's why I'm kind of swinging back to, no, they're mythology, at least the superheroes are. But other things are not that are here. I mean, we have, of course, Star Trek, and I haven't seen Firefly, but that would be science fiction. There's a lot of good stuff here that would be science fiction. So, and as for, to go back a second, Scott, you mentioned the difference between the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the comics. I will tell you why there's not a lot of bleed over. Because if you're watching the movies and the comics are starkly different. They are set because of Disney knows their audience and knows that one audience is going to be different from another. And so they're keeping it that way. And if you were to go, if you really loved Thor, and you wanted to buy Thor comics right now, and you went and did that, you would find that Thor is currently a woman afflicted with cancer named Jane Foster. The actual Thor is a guy who's not considered worthy to lift Mjolnir. So you'd be let down. Or Spider-Man is consisting of Peter Parker, who's a now failed CEO of a multinational corporation, and a Hispanic kid who's the teenage part. Both of those are killer characters, but if all you want is the Parker teenager, well, you just got left high and dry.
Now let me ask you, I think the question of our comic science fiction, some of it definitely goes back to when science fiction used to be in the pulp trades, and you'd get it in Astounding Stories and Asimov's, and the sci-fi, the comics grew out of the pulps, and science fiction grew out of the pulp, so it would share a common background, and then they diverged. It seems a little clearer to me that it's its own genre when you talk about graphic novels and comic books themselves. And when you stay within the print, it's clearly something separate from science fiction, but the blending is so close that it really doesn't make much of a difference. Is it a little different in the film universe when you get into movies like Thor Ragnarok and you get into movies like Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Iron Man, X-Men Days of Future Past? You got time travel in X-Men Days of Future Past. If that's not a science fiction trope that screams it at you, what is it a little more blurry in the films for you?
I would say that, no, you're right. It is, because it's far more sci-fi. It's very soft science fiction, but it is. I mean, not just because of, Guardians of the Galaxy, of course.
Wait, you're telling me there's no way that Tony Stark could really put a mini nuclear reactor in his chest and use it to power an amazing suit to turn him into a superhero?
Turns out, no.
That's not real science?
No.
There's nothing. You wouldn't be irradiated instantly?
I was shocked when I found out. I couldn't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I'm going to have to check this out, because I really thought that it would be safe to put a mini reactor in your chest.
Hey, trust me, I'm the Rage Master. I'm all about getting up the rage, and amping up the heat,
Just not the Rage Master today, because we're in public and it might look weird if you started flipping out in the middle of Comic-Con.
Oh yeah, especially with kids around. And oh, there's a Doc Ock costume on a little kid. It looks great.
Amazing.
I'm going to keep doing this. These costumes are great. These cosplayers got something else. So anywho, where was I? Oh yeah, the movies. So there's that. Thor, you know what I like about Thor? The fact that it's kind of Ancient Aliens-ish.
It very much
especially is. Especially in the first movie, not as much it seems, but starting in part two, The Dark World, all I kept thinking was Ancient Aliens, Ancient Aliens. And then I know I rip on Ancient Aliens, but then again, Ancient Aliens, this as a film, is science fiction, so I'm okay with it. But where the Aesir are just a different kind of living being. So I would say that the movies are more sci-fi-ish because that's the crowd you're catering to.
And we were talking about Thor. Look, I always bring things back to Star Trek. Star Trek has the Q continuum, where the Q exist on this different plane of existence, and they're more than mortals. And we call them gods because we can't understand them in any other way but to call them gods. What else is Thor and Loki and Odin existing in another plane of reality? And then there's the different levels of reality that they can move to.
Well, and they mention in the first movie, he's pointing out the world tree, and pointing out the nine realms and saying, well, those are what you would call the nine realms, but are actually we call worlds. Or they don't explicitly say the word dimension, but that's what it is at the end of the day.
Asgard is at the heart of it all, which would be the analogy here to the Q continuum. Now, obviously, Thor is not as powerful as Q, but...
Yeah, but you get the idea that it's all that way. And then they even go as far to say, well, what you call magic, we call science. So, very much...
Which is a nice throwback to Clark, that any advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Yeah, I don't know if they were going for that, but it works, doesn't it? So, the movies I would call more science fiction. When it comes to the comics, I'm less inclined, because they are more into... They're more mythological than anything else. And their origins, I would say, are more mythological.
And it's pretty funny because it keeps coming back down to this. Whenever we discuss comic books, we have this divide between comic books and comic movies.
Yeah.
And it seems like those themselves are becoming two distinct, different genres of storytelling.
Yeah. Well, and even like the TV shows. So the CW's here, and they make the Flash and Arrow and whatnot. And granted, the Flash is laden with technobabble and Henwavium, but it's still more science fiction than you'd probably get in the books. Now, the books do have a lot of it, but in the comic books, they know their audience, and they know they can bend the rules a lot more, or even try to get a little nuttier, because you have that audience. You have the people that are diehard readers. Whereas on the TV show, you gotta make it quick. Get through the science technobabble quick and get back to some action or relationship drama nonsense, because that's what you need to do.
There it was, the Rage Master disgust of the relationship drama part of the TV show.
I like the Flash, and I like the Arrow, but it's gotten to the point where I'm just fast-forwarding through whenever they have a chit-chat, because whenever the main character, guy and girl, have a chat, I just think, all right, have your little relationship chat. And then if there's something that valuable, I actually just Google it and read the episode summary. And then I watch the action, because the action stuff is great.
For the new listeners to the show, Rage Master is the married man who has to fast forward through anything that has to do with the relationship between a man and a woman. And I'm the bachelor who says, you know what, you need to have those to advance the story, because if you're not telling a story about a relationship between a man and a woman, you're not telling a love story. Don't want to sound exclusionist here. If you're not telling a love story, then you're not talking about the human condition.
Well, because I'm married, and that means I sit down with my wife and watch shows, and I like watching our shows. We have collected ones. Hey, speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm looking at Star-Lord. But we have these shows we watch, and they're always going to be romance relationship-oriented, because that's my wife, and I'm okay with that. But that means when I get to do my own thing, I'm going to try to cut it down on that. I'm going to go to The Expanse, or I'm going to watch something like even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where there's just a little bit less of it. So that's my take.
I understand. I just got to give you a hard time on it.
Yeah.
So we were going somewhere with the difference between sci-fi, between comic book in the print graphic novel and film. Do you think one is superior to the other at this point? Is there a preference for you? You're the comic book guy in the show. Is there a preference for you?
Well, I'm the comic guy. I've been collecting since I was... I want to say 8 years old. I can't remember exactly. I will always prefer the comics because I know they're going to stick around. You're going to do your more writing-focused or mythological themes in the comics because that's what they do. In the TV shows and the movies, they're going to do whatever it takes to gain the viewership. And not only that, let's be honest, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as much as I love it, is starting to get to a point of, okay, guys, let's wrap it up now, because to keep making movies, that's going to come to an end. At some point, it will end.
I'll tell you this. I was a big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe when it kicked off, and it drew me in as being not a comic book guy, not a classic comic book guy. It drew me in, and a lot of that might be that it gets blurry with science fiction, so it really tugged at my heartstrings, hit me where I lived. But I've started to skip movies. I still haven't seen Civil War all the way through. And Civil War, by all accounts, is very good. But the storyline is starting to play itself out for me. So I watched the Captain Americas. I watched Avengers, all of Iron Man, Hulk. I am still not missing a Guardians of the Galaxy, because I think Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was maybe the most enjoyable movie I've seen in the last 5 years.
Oh, you'll see those.
But I've started to skip movies.
I haven't seen the new Thor, but I'm gonna.
I have every intention of seeing the new Thor within the next couple of weeks. Because that movie looks like it's going to be amazing. And Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy, to me, are my two favorite franchises in the Marvel Cinematic Universe right now. To me, they get closest to the science fiction, but they have the most fun with those two. They mix a comedy in as well.
Okay.
Which one do you... As what we said, it is starting to run a little stale because I'm starting to skip movies because it's not as new as it used to be.
Well, I can pick
and choose at this point which ones I watch and which ones I don't, even with the massive intertwined story. I can always catch up when I need to from Google or Wikipedia, but do you think there's a superior storytelling device? Do you think either the graphic novel is superior or the movie is superior? One that you prefer, if you wanted to see, you know, some people always say, hey, the novel was better than the movie. Would you rather see a story arc play out in a graphic novel, or would you rather see it play out on the big screen?
Well, first, when you say graphic novel, do you mean the individual comic issues or a graphic novel? There is a difference.
Individual comic issues.
Okay. I'd rather do the comics because it's what I like to collect, for one. and two, the stories can play out better that way. You've got a little bit more freedom, whereas if you're watching a movie, you're kind of stuck. There's a director, there's a writer, there's a businessman getting in the way, whereas in the comics, they can do a little bit more. Now, I will say this, that in recent years, Marvel's run into some trouble with their business model and their comics. They're trying to rectify that now, and I hope it works out. I've been following Spider-Man loyally regardless. That's my guy since I was 8. But because of my tradition, I'll stick to that. And again, because I know the movies are going to end at some point. Now, and the movies can drag on. They can get a little tired, a little stale. I think Marvel has the advantage, though, in that because they were the founder of this shared universe film feast, that they can go out in style and good form. Whereas other movies are desperately trying to capture that success, and they're going to have to deal with stale from the beginning. So to answer your question in a real roundabout way, I prefer the comics. I like the long-term stories better, but I like them both. I just would rather have the comics because I know that's going to last. And so they're going to pour a little bit more effort into that than the movies, which will be stuck to whatever happens to be the flavor of the month. I mean, we'll get to this more next month, but Star Wars is now the flavor of the month style. If all of a sudden everybody decides dark and gritty isn't fun anymore, we want lighthearted and kooky, then that's what Star Wars is going to be.
Sounds like there's a little bit of fear in you that the comic book genre, the movie genre, is going to get damaged by the search for profit, and you're going to eventually see a big downplay in quality.
Absolutely. The comics are going to reflect what people think. They're going to reflect... Marvel is changing their way of writing their comics because they've suffered a lot of money. They've huge financial losses in the past few years. Whereas in DC, their comic sales are doing great, but their movies are tanking. And I think they're probably, if you're looking for longevity, you're going to want to go with the comics, because the films, they'll get you in a short run way more money, absolutely way more money than the comics. But if you're looking for longevity in sales, you're going to want to go comics.
We're straying a little bit away from the topic here, but we've talked about this before, but let's talk about it again. Where's the future for comic books? Where's the future for superheroes? Is it on the big screen? Is it on TV, Netflix, or is it still in the print media, in the graphic novels, in the individual issues? Because the local comic book shop is struggling right now.
But the local comic shop has been struggling for decades. If you want to get detailed, they started really struggling after Diamond Publishing became the monopoly. And historically, the only time the movies have helped the comic shop is 1989 Batman. The 1960s Batman TV show actually saved that comic from getting canceled altogether. And then Spider-Man in, what was it, 99? Those are the only three times where a show or movie actually affected comic sales. So separate those two. Because they don't really... The impact of comic sales from a movie are negligible at best. So what's the future of the comics? Well, they're going to change based on people's tastes and art. So I can't tell you exactly what. I would expect more diverse characters. That's already happening. DC's trying to really push the female characters, which I embrace that. Marvel is doing a little bit of everything. They're trying to go different races, different genders. And I embrace that as well. I thought Sam Wilson was a very good Captain America. I don't know what people in general felt, but I really liked him. And I like Kamala Khan, the new Miss Marvel. So I think you're going to see a little bit more of that, a little bit more intrapersonal issues. The one big change you can definitely count on is digital. Already, Marvel Comics is giving a free digital copy when you buy a comic. You just rip off the little label, there's a code, you go to their website, boom, you got a free digital copy. So that is going to be the biggest change in the next several decades, is the amount of print copies of a comic are going to be drastically reduced. I think they'll still be around, but they'll be so small in publication that's when the comic shops are going to start suffering.
They'll start having the same problem that Borders did and bookstores
Absolutely.
Did. Why are you going to go to a comic shop when everything's going digital to your Kindle?
Well, what's going to really kill it, too, is when guys like me and older guys start dying off, because the younger generations, they're used to digital. Everything's digital. If it's not digital, they look at you like, what, are you in the Stone Age? So when offered the digital option, they'll take it. Not most of them will. A few may not, but the younger ones will still take the digital, even if they'd prefer not to, if that were the only option. And so will I, to be fair. But they know there's a market for the print with me. Generations under, or even you, Scott, will just say, nah, I'll take the digital. So I think that's the biggest change that's going to come in comics within the next several decades.
So before we wrap up and play some of the interviews we had by here today, I think that the consensus, if I remember right, is that superheroes are sci-fi, or at least partially sci-fi.
Very partially for me. Very partially.
That's your final call on it.
The movies mostly are sci-fi. The comics are. I like to look at them on modern day American myths. If we were to die, or I often wonder. I always reference the Myths and Legends podcast. Check it out. But if you go, let's say, 500 years in the future, would someone like, hey, look, it's Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. Party time.
Excellent. So, sorry for the distraction, everyone, sickies. But anyway, if you were to look, I'm wondering if, like, 500 years in the future, we're not talking about Spider-Man the same way we talk about King Arthur.
That would be very interesting. That would be extremely interesting if 500 years in the future, Spider-Man grew into his own King Arthur-type mythology.
Him or Superman?
I could see it. Or Yoda? Luke Skywalker?
Sure, exactly. So that's why I think of them more as myth than science fiction. I think they just take pieces from science fiction where applicable.
I always say, wouldn't it be crazy if, okay, something catastrophic happens, and the anthropologists of the future are coming back to our society, and all they find is someone's collection of Star Wars DVDs.
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
trying to piece together our society. They walk into some super nerd's house about Star Wars, and they find images of Yoda, and they find the Star Wars DVD, and they find the Star Wars books, and they're going, this is their religion. These are these guys' gods.
Absolutely. Or at the very least, just wonder, they achieved this level of technology? They must have killed each other.
Because, and then there's...
Because... I remember when Star Wars came out, I've spoken with some of my older Russian and Ukrainian students who grew up during the Soviet Union, and when Star Wars came out and they got bootlegs of it, they thought, the Americans can do this now? Oh, we're screwed. So, yeah, something like that.
Then you'd have the Giorgio Tsoukalos Ancient Alien guy coming around going, these people drew what they knew. Our ancestors lived at a time where short little green things run around and could float and move around giant objects with their mind.
That's right.
And then there were withered old men who could shoot lightning from their fingers. Our ancestors had incredible mental powers that we have simply forgotten how to... Yeah, okay, Giorgio.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm not saying aliens, but aliens.
So that's where I think we're at.
I think that I'm a little different than you on this. I think that the superhero comic book, science fiction genre all kind of grew from the same well. And that's why there's similarities, and that's why there overlaps. And I think that a good superhero story has a place in the science fiction subcategory, and a good science fiction story can be part of a superhero comic. So I think sometimes you have a comic book superhero subgenre that's science fiction, like Guardians of the Galaxy. Would be superhero science fiction, and science fiction is the subgenre in a superhero story. And then you can have it the other way around, where you have a superhero subgenre in a science fiction story. And I think the two of them cross over a lot. I think they are their own separate things, but they're so close, and if it was a Venn diagram, that a lot of it overlaps.
Okay, well.
So I think it's pretty similar. Let's talk for a couple seconds about Comic-Con before we go.
Sure.
First off, the event staff here, you've been awesome.
They've
we
been
are
really
rookies
helpful.
To Comic-Con. We didn't know what we were doing, and you've helped us out through it, and it's been a pleasant experience, and it's been fantastic. So, the people here running Comic-Con, you're awesome. Thank you.
Nice guy, definitely. I don't recall your name, the guy in charge, but you are a nice guy. You got us hooked up, even though we made a few bonehead maneuvers. But, hey, thanks a lot. They've been great. Come on down. And of course, I should mention that the views expressed on Sci-Fi Melody are not necessarily the views of the management of Akron Comic Con.
Nope. It is only the views of the Rage Master and me.
So, thanks a lot for... you can stick around. We're going to have a few of the men on the streets interviews with some congoers.
Also, yeah, thank you to everyone who took the time to stop by today. Yeah. We're not going to remember everyone by name specifically, and I'm sorry about that. It's been a lot of a blur here today. But thank you for everyone who came by. We really appreciate you taking time to talk to us and stop by. And for everyone who's listened to the podcast and checked it out today, thank you for that. There's a lot more stuff here on Raving Lunatic Media, Sci-Fi Malady, that you can check out if you liked what you heard today.
And you'll edit this out, but if we didn't get to Boba Fett, sorry, Boba. We really loved your interview, but there was a technical glitch, and we lost everything.
Blame Scott.
Blame Scott. But on the other hand, if we did get him back, then you'll just edit this out.
No, it'll just be there, and it'll be like, hey, did we get Boba Fett back or not?
Oh, well,
Stay tuned to find out. That's called a teaser.
And that was actually one of the best interviews, so... All right, so... Catch you guys next week in the studio. All right, Rage Master here, live at Akron Comic Con, and I am here with Darth Vader, fearing for my life, but he has graciously and magnanimously decided to answer the question, are superhero comics science fiction, my lord?
Science fiction.
Yes, my lord. Science that is not real, but based upon what we think it should be.
Well, Star Wars is my kind of science fiction.
Oh, of course, it definitely is. But is anything a superhero, like a Superman, for example, is that science fiction?
No, it's not.
And why is that, my lord?
Because Superman was in development science. He was born with kryptonite and born on a planet Krypton.
Okay, what about someone like Spider-Man or Captain America?
They're both different, too. Spider-Man was... guy bit by a spider, and Captain America was born in a machine that gave him his strength.
Okay, so it depends on how the superhero's origin story. All right, Rage Master back here at Akron Comic Con, and I'm with Andy. And Andy, the question of the hour is, are superheroes or superhero comics considered sci-fi?
Absolutely. When you look at their origin stories, you have to call them sci-fi. Almost nobody normally became superhuman. So that's the sci-fi element in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. It's also got a little real mythological aspect. It's a little bit of all. So do you have a favorite superhero?
I absolutely do. Like I said, I'm a classical guy. So some of the original superheroes like Superman and Batman, a lot of those is who I gravitate towards. You know, that was like the basis for almost every other superhero character in all of superheroes. Just in general, as a 90s kid, though, I do love X-Men and Wolverine. I know that's a little cliche these days and a little hipster of me to say that... I've loved Wolverine since 1992, so I feel like I'm a hipster in that regard.
Nah, you're all right.
Yeah. You're an X-Men fan. How is Professor X alive at the start of Days of Future Past?
Listen, I'm not sure, but since I recognize that there's so many different story arcs, as a comic book fan, I know that stories are never linear, right? You can't just base off what one story was saying when you get to the next story. So I kind of bite the bullet sometimes when things are a little bit not understandable and just chalk it up to a different story arc.
As you have to sometimes if it's a good story.
Yeah. Well, and there's also alternate dimensions and timelines and twists and turns. Once you start going in the time travel story,
right.
You're going in all sorts of directions that can go any which way. So what final question, what would be your favorite superpower from any hero?
It's got to be X-ray vision, isn't it? I mean, the ability to see through a wall, the ability to X-ray vision is what every pervert 13-year-old boy wants to be able to use, and also what every crime fighter wants to be able to use. You know, I think Superman's ability to not be hurt is huge, but that's a little too easy. You know, that's like a softball pitch, right? But X-ray vision. Imagine all the things you could do with it.
Oh, sure. Good. All right. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Have a good time.
Thank you.
Okay. We're back at Akron Comic Con. Your Rage Master here, and we are with
Mike.
And Cassidy.
And they are joining us to answer the question, are superhero comics science fiction?
No, I don't think so.
All right, why not?
I do believe that superheroes more fantasy, but they do try to instill value at the same time.
Okay, so something like a myth or a morality play. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
I mean, think about it, Superman, Captain America, Batman, those guys.
Right, right. And what about you? Bethany, is it? And what do you think? Okay, so is Star Wars and superheroes, are they kind of the same to you?
Yeah.
Okay, and how so?
They're both trying to do good.
All right, well, thanks a lot for stopping by, and we'll see you later.
Thank you very much.
So, Ragemaster here again at Akron Comic Con with...
Jillian.
And she's dressed as Spider-Gwen, if anybody knows. And your friend can do this, too. Okay, that's fine. Anyway, Jillian, or I could call you Gwen. So, the question we have is, we do a science fiction podcast, and we're wondering, are superheroes science fiction? What do you think?
I guess it depends on how you look at it. I think most would consider them science fiction, but I think it just depends on the person.
Okay, and how do you see it?
I don't necessarily classify it as science fiction. I just look at them as stories in a way to escape from the real world.
That they are. So I'm guessing you like Spider-Gwen. Yeah. Do you like all the Spider characters, or is she just your favorite?
I like most of the Spider characters. I'm not crazy about Spider-Woman, but I like Silk and Spider-Girl and Spider-Man.
Okay, Spider-Man Parker or Spider-Man Miles Morales?
Both, but I prefer Parker.
Yeah, me too. But Miles is pretty cool too, so... Okay.
I love Venom.
Oh yeah, Venom. Now that it's back with Eddie Brock, I mean, wow.
Yeah. I'm excited for the movie to come out next year.
Yeah, that should be pretty good. And I'm a big Venom fan, too. I'm collecting that again. So, all right. So thanks a lot for helping us out today, and have a good day. All right. Ragemaster back here live at Akron Comic Con with an old buddy of mine, Jay. And Jay, we met at a comics shop, didn't we?
Yep. I worked at York Comics and Cards for 10 years in Parma, Ohio.
Right, so that's where we met up. And the question today, so you're kind of an expert on superheroes, right?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. So the question is, are superheroes science fiction?
I think they are, yeah. They fit in all types of genres, but definitely science fiction. There's always science involved with their superpowers. Maybe it's not the best science in the world, but it's definitely science. And if you compare it to the real world, it is fiction. So I would have to say yes.
Okay, cool. And Jay, I was just outside checking out Monster Fest Mania and popcorn. What's that about?
Okay, I was nice enough to get asked to sit at the Monster Fest Mania booth to remind people that Monster Fest Mania is not dead. It will be back in the fall of 2018. That's the same promoters that run Akron Comic Con. They're moving Akron Comic Con to the springtime of 2018. And in the fall, they're going to do Monster Fest Mania. Popcorn is a group that I recently started with my family and friends. It stands for Power of Positivity Community Outreach Resource Networking. We do a lot of charities, food drives, jackets, jacket collections, shoe collections, sock collections. It's just something to give everybody a chance to be a hero and do what they can when they can to make the world a better place.
Oh, that sounds really good. How can someone find out about this?
They can check us out on our Facebook page, which is just Popcorn, all caps. Or they could send us an email at popcorngroup247@gmail.com.
Okay. Hey, thanks for coming by, Jay. All right. It's Ragemaster here again at Akron Comic Con, and I'm here with Erin from Supergroup Hugs. How you doing, Erin?
I am good.
She's actually parked right next to us. And the question of the day is, are superheroes science fiction?
Are superheroes science fiction? Yes, I think so. I think going back to the Ubermensch, which is the whole, you know, start of it, when Superman was invented, they were looking at that, and that was science fiction from the get-go.
Okay, so because it goes back a long way to the origins, it kind of just is a tradition that continues.
I think so. You know, there are some fantasy elements. Some superheroes have magic powers. But yeah, I think superheroes are definitely science fiction.
Okay, cool. And I mentioned earlier Super Group Hugs. What is Super Group Hugs?
Wait. First, do the greeting that you greet everybody with.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Erin. I draw hugs. Ta-da!
Okay. Yeah, that's right. She's been saying that to just about every customer that's walked by. So, but what is Super Group Hugs?
Super Group Hugs are illustrations that I create of all your favorite pop culture characters hugging.
And these, I gotta say, are really nice. In fact, I picked one up of Will Wheaton hugging Captain Picard, and Captain Picard looks about as enjoying it about as much as I would. You know what? I don't have anything. He just doesn't like it.
Stay tuned for a future Sci-Fi Malady where I give a conspiracy theory that Wesley is actually Captain Picard's son.
That'll be on you, Scott. So how can someone, if they're not at the con, find out about Super Group Hugs? Are you local?
I'm from Cleveland, so semi-local. But there is a website, supergrouphugs.com, and you can buy any of them on there. I'm also very active on Instagram under the name Erin in Artland.
And do you come to all the cons you can?
I try to do at least one a month. My husband and I run this business together, and this has become his full-time job. I still work full-time, so between the two of us, we make it to a bunch of shows, and it's been about 2 years, and we're kind of shocked by how much it's taken off and how much it's changed our lives.
Wow, so who's the artist between the two of you?
That'll be me. I have an illustration degree and everything, and I'm an art director for my day job. And work a regular 9-to-5 office job. And then I always have to be creative and do stuff for myself on the side. And this was just a project I created for a free comic book day at my local comic book shop, and it blew up. So this has become a really big part of my life. But these are like cartoony little illustrations. I also do gallery shows and very serious portrait work. As long as I'm doing something, I kind of like to bounce around. But this has been the big thing for the last couple of years.
If you're listening to this and you're curious, we'll have a picture of it up on our website. But again, you got Erin's website to go to, which is again
supergrouphugs.com.
And people can buy anything from there, credit card, PayPal, that kind of thing.
Yep. You can purchase. I think it goes through PayPal. On the site. You can always email us as well, supergrouphugs@gmail.com. We do a lot of commissions, and I know a lot of people like to do them for Christmas, so if you want one, now's the time to get one in. But yeah, it's always funny, like people make you draw very random things, but as long as they're hugging, I'm game.
And how long does a commission take to do and send out?
I am a little slow because I work full time. So I generally tell people to give me a couple months and be very patient. but they're always worth it. They're always completely, fully rendered watercolor illustrations. So we try to give them bang for their buck.
And I'd say I paid $5 for this, and you will not find a lot of art that cheap at any con. Are the con prices, is that what you normally do on your website?
They're a little bit more expensive on the website just because we have to factor in shipping and all that, but not by much. But our con deals, we just try to make it a very appealing price, but they're always going to be accessible and something that even kids can collect and afford. Everyone should get to own art.
I'd expect an artist to say that. Yeah, I'd drop $10 for this. So if I had to pay for shipping, I'd do it easy, no problem. So this is no big deal. But check it out. And what do you got, Scott? You were about to chime in? All right. So thanks for coming over. And check out supergrouphugs.com.
Yeah.
Okay. We're back again live at Akron Comic Con. And I'm with...
Vincent.
And Marie.
And they are dressed as Captain Kirk and any science officer. She's got her tricorder included. I didn't want to say Spock just yet. But anyway, so I got the question for him. What do you think of the new Abramsverse Trek? Because I'm sorry, what was your name again? Marie, you're a TOS person through and through. So what's your take on the Abramsverse?
I really do like it. It's surprisingly refreshing, but still going back to, like, it's not, like, over the top or anything like that. I really enjoy Spock. I like the fact that they have old Spock in there while they can. I like Bones. I like Kirk. It's very interesting.
Okay, and you haven't really caught on to Next Gen. Why is that?
I was kind of late on the whole Star Trek thing. And so I love the original series so much. It's hard to kind of bridge a gap. And I've heard great things about Generations. Most people I know love the Generations thing more than original series. But I'm so in love with Spock and Kirk and Bones. You know, it's really hard to kind of jump into something else that's so different.
Yeah, that makes sense. I get that. And I'm sorry, your name again? Vince, which one are you? Are you a TOS, a Next Gen?
I didn't really begin getting into Star Trek until after the Abrams movies came out. Like, my dad was watching it all the time when I was a kid. He would watch mostly Next Generation because it was the 90s, you know. So I didn't really catch on to it. I went to see the new Abrams movie with him, and I'm like, oh, this is really fun. So we got started on the original series, and hopefully we'll finish that up pretty soon. We're almost done with it. Move on to Next Generation. But generally, I've enjoyed everything that I've seen. I mean, I think the original series has these great characters everybody loves. But when you look at, like, each episode, they're not that good besides, you know, how cheesy the effects are and stuff like that. It's all about, you know, exploration. It's about meeting new things that we can't understand, that humans aren't equipped to understand yet. And then it's kind of every episode. Like, they all take a different take on it, but it's the same story again and again. It's not until Next Generation you get the drama that characterizes, you know, an ongoing television show. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that.
Oh, yeah, I can say the big difference between Next Gen and TOS is in Next Gen, well, at least there's more character argument. Would you say so, Scott?
Yes, but wait till you get to Deep Space Nine, where there will be real drama and real character conflict and tension because they no longer follow Gene Roddenberry's rule of everyone has to get along.
Yeah, DS9's pretty good. So, yeah. And last question, favorite episode, since you both are in TOS, favorite episode or one of your favorites?
Space Seed.
Oh.
Love Khan.
Yeah,
oh,
Khan's
okay.
Pretty good. I do like Khan. Khan was pretty good. There was one episode, do you remember it, where Spock, like, mind melds with a rock? That one was really good. I don't know why that sticks out, but that one was one of my favorites for some reason.
The Horta.
Yeah. Yes.
Devil in the Dark.
Yes, exactly.
That's one of the best ones out of the original series. It's great.
I like it, yeah.
Okay. So, and have you seen the films, the original films?
Yeah, I think all of them. I'm trying to think. Undiscovered Country, I think I've only seen bits and pieces of, but I've definitely watched all the way through, 2, 3, 4. I saw the original one, but the original one, you know, moves so slow, you kind of phase out and you lose interest like halfway through.
Yeah, we said, he did a episode about that, and yeah, he said the same thing. It's so slow, and the camera shots are great, but you're going, all right, are we going to see the end of the ship now? Yeah.
So. Did you watch Star Trek V, or as I call it, Dear God, why did we let Bill Shatner make a movie?
I'm trying to think which one that would be.
Kirk asked God what he needs with a starship. Big, giant, floating head.
No, I don't think I've seen that one yet.
It's corny.
Well, then, if you like Khan, then you must have liked Wrath of Khan.
Yes, I enjoyed Wrath of Khan. I very much enjoyed Into Darkness, too. A new take on Khan, and a lot of people were up in arms about the whitewashing issue, and you know, I tried to steer clear of spoilers or anything before going to see it. So everybody else had apparently already decided, oh yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch's character is Khan. For me, it didn't click until just before he introduced himself, before he reveals, and then I'm like, he is Khan, isn't he? Like, yeah. But yeah, I like the Khan. I like Benedict Cumberbatch as an actor, so it was interesting to see.
All right, so yeah, and honestly, Wrath of Khan is always in anybody's top one or two list, so you can't go wrong with that. So thanks for stopping by. These are really great costumes, and we'll see you later.
Thank you.
If you want, you can. All right, we're back again at Akron Comic Con, and I am with
Doctor Strange.
And
gotta say my name three times.
I do, though I should be scary, still I venture someplace scary. Ghostly hauntings, I turn loose. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice!
There we go. I'm here.
You need exercise.
Don't look at me.
That's right. So the question is, are superhero comics science fiction, do you think?
Superhero comics science fiction. That's a good question, especially to ask a magical guy.
I would say, yeah, I think superhero comics, not unlike science fiction, can be a lot of things and incorporate a lot of different genres of storytelling into it. So, yeah, I would say, yeah. Okay, great. And what about you, Beetlegeist?
I think anymore they kind of are. Can't fall into that category anymore.
And what would you fall? Would you fall into science fiction or just general bioexorcism?
Bioexorcist, whatever the paycheck needs. I'll do anything. I'll exercise your grandma if you want me to.
And what if I got little kids to come with me?
Oh, they're fun too. I love the little kids. I'll exercise all of them.
Okay, so thank you, gentlemen, and have a good day. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. All right, Rage Master here live at Akron Comic Con with
David and
Michael.
All right, and the question of the hour is, are superhero comics, TV, whatever, do those count as science fiction?
Yes, they do.
Because?
Because with superhero in real life, like I'm a big Arrow fan, so to me, you know, I don't walk around the street and see him actually flying around. So to me, it's sci-fi.
All right. And same question, Mike.
For me, Spider-Man's my Superman hero and sci-fi hero. But again, it takes a radioactive spider to make this guy be able to climb walls and everything. So that's definitely on the edge of sci-fi.
Yeah, it is. In fact, the funny part is Stan Lee said, I had no idea about science when I wrote that thing. I just thought it's the atomic age, so let's do that. So,
do you guys think maybe it gets less blurry with the movies and that the movies may be more like science fiction and the comic book, like the graphic novels and the issues are more closer to being a separate genre? Or do you think they both cross over like that?
I think they both cross over. I think the movies actually does a nice job bringing the comic books to life.
Yeah, I feel the same, actually. Watching the shows made me more interested in reading the comic book than vice versa.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys. And be sure you check the CW chart if you like Arrow, CW over there.
All right, cool.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, Rage Master again back at Akron Comic Con, and I am here with Father and Son Team, Django and Boba Fett. And Boba, I got to ask, what's with the lack of you being in the new movies?
I think it sucks. I think we need to really bring him back. You know, it's like, you know, prove that, you know, he's still alive. You know, he crawled out of Sarlacc pit, survived, proves how cool I am.
Yeah, I mean, that you were so instrumental in the last storylines, the last canon. Now all of a sudden it's like, what? Your armor got found in the desert and that was it? Come on.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's like, come on, they gotta come back and make something to say, you know, Boba, you know, I think that I survived, and you know, I think that's, we need that. But also, it takes the, I think if you bring something like that in, you kind of take away the mysterious of the character.
Right, that's a good point. And Scott, you got a question before
the man climbed out of the Sarlacc pit. He's got to be in the new Star Wars canon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You just don't get out of that. So you guys are, I'm looking at your costumes. They are perfect. They're movie quality. And that's because you guys are part of the 501st. What is the 501st?
It is a costume organization that people can get involved with, that you can be able to troop around. We do stuff with Make-A-Wish and Cancer for Kids. We're all volunteer. We never get paid for this.
Right, and two, I mean, how does one get involved in the 501st? What can you do?
Go onto the internet, go www.501st.com, and a lot of people don't realize that you do not have to have a costume to be able to join. We have other people that need to help us out to get dressed or to be able to take pictures for the people that want to come up and get pictures from us then, so they can help out that way.
Okay, but what if you want to get involved in a costume for the 501st? What kind of costumes would you have to do?
It's whatever you want to do. All the bad guys are all the 501st. All the good guys are the Rebel Legion. You go onto the internet for each one of those, and then you pick out an outfit that you would like to do, and then what is known as the CRL. It's the Costume Reference Library that they go to, and it shows each individual piece that you have to be certified, because we must be certified before we're allowed to troop.
And so none of these you can buy at a store online. You got to make this yourself?
Yeah, well, this stuff like online that you can be able to get from usually overseas that we have to get things from, or wherever it takes along things from Australia to Chile, Japan, comes to us to California, wherever, in the States then too. And then we either have to paint them or have to grind them down to be able to fit us. Because we always remember, the costume fits you. You don't fit the costume.
That's right. So if you want to get involved with the good side, you do the Rebel Legion, 501st is you guys. So... And does it matter what era it's involved in?
No, doesn't matter which one of the episodes that you want to be in. They're all on there on www.501st.com. Pick the outfit. You can go from there. There's a lot of people that's on there that can be able to help you out, to be able to show you where you can be able to buy the parts or the pieces for the outfit that you want.
Okay, and before you mentioned, this is actually second interview. First interview, kind of, there was a technical glitch. We lost it, sadly. But and before, you were talking about the levels, and you were saying you were a level 3 costume. The costume you had earlier, which was at a working jetpack, a voice box, dressed to the nines. What are these levels about?
Yeah, each level you can be able to go to. You can be able to go on the standard level, which that's just ground level itself, however, to get certified. Otherwise, if you want to be more exact, we're talking about things like having a jumpsuit that is maybe double stitched instead of single stitched. You're being very exact. So the higher the level, the more accurate you are to the movie itself.
Oh, okay. So and anybody can do that. It's just putting the time and the work in and getting certified.
And the money.
And the money.
That I was talking about. I'm not certain about your Wookiee scalp. So the original horsehair, they're synthetic.
Mine are horsehair.
Okay. Yeah. So he has the same exact thing as what I had before or whatever. But these are actual horsehair Wookiee scalps. So these are worth more money than the synthetic ones. But you can get by on standard level with synthetic Wookiee scalps. Stuff like that.
And do you guys travel around the country or anything? I know there's a lot of events the 501st does.
Correct. I stay around the States, maybe in the lower part of Michigan. I don't know about you.
I'm the same. I'll probably stay around here in the state, and then I've traveled to Michigan a couple times, maybe Pennsylvania.
Okay. You guys ever plan on going down to, Star Weekends at Disney?
Probably with the family, not in the getup. They won't allow you in there with the getup.
Oh, really? Okay, because I know they have parades. I thought maybe they let the 501st in.
Parades is the people that work there, because you got to figure, if somebody would let somebody in like this, that looks like their worker, you got to think of safety first. Somebody could come in with a weird weapon, just like these crazy people are doing now.
All right, that's a good point.
That's a bad name and a bad rep.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to do charity work. You don't want to have that on your side. So
We actually go into the hospitals, like in Cincinnati. We've actually gone into hospitals for the Cancer for Kids. And we go into their rooms because we bring Disney to them, since they cannot get out of their rooms. They're 6-7 years old, and they're unfortunately dying of cancer. So we bring Disney to them, and we put a smile on their face. That's what we do.
Wow, that's something. So you two, any other costumes do you do? Do you do other characters?
Yes, I have Boba Fett. That's my main character. I have Jango, which is his father. I have Kylo Ren. I have a TK Stormtrooper, and I have Obi-Wan. I got 5 outfits.
All right, and you?
This is it, Boba. That's it.
Still a lot of time and money.
I can do a biker scout. Biker scout would be fun.
Okay, well, there's still a lot of time and money, and you guys look fantastic, I gotta say.
It's awesome, and it's for a great cause, and that makes it even better.
Absolutely. So, last question. What do you guys think of the new movies? What are your prospects? What are your outlook?
I'm waiting to see.
All right.
I'm just waiting to see what happens. Curious how everything ends.
Okay, so, and what was your take on episode 7?
It was good. About it. I didn't see Boba in there, though.
That was a sore point.
We're still rooting for Boba to come on out.
Yeah. All right.
At least a sibling or something like that, a little cast in the back, you know, as it zooms by. Maybe Boba Fett's son or something like that. Maybe they might pop in.
Yeah, well, and you know what? They brought Thrawn back in, so I don't see why they wouldn't bring a Fett or at least a Mandalorian of some kind.
Yeah, I'm looking to see what happens, and that's really... Looking forward to seeing the movies. Oh, yeah, I'd like to see a Mandalorian of some kind to pop in one of the newer movies. It'd be great.
It would be. So, hey, thanks a lot, guys. And you can check them out. If you're interested in the 501st, you can check them out their website. You probably got social media, right? Maybe not Facebook.
If somebody wants to follow me on Facebook, I always post up all the pictures and my jetpack working on little funny videos that I do at each one of the troops.
And you guys, check out the jetpack. He demonstrated it before. It's amazing. So thanks a lot for stopping by again, and you guys have a great day.
It's an honor.
Thank you.
Raving Lunatic Mania! .com